Welcome. You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining us today for Arapahoe County News, read by Austin. We will be reading the following articles. Embattled Aurora apartment official claims city targeting him because he is Jewish. Community College of Aurora stops citizenship classes after grant is canceled by Trump administration. ACC offers range of youth camp options. And swastikas are found along Lee Gulch Trail. I will also be following up with miscellaneous articles as well. Aurora Sentinel. Metro. Embattled Aurora apartment official claims city targeting him because he is Jewish. Quote, the city has compiled extensive documentation over the last several years to validate the numerous problems at the properties connected to CBZ management, end quote, by Ryan Lulby, Aurora spokesperson. Written by Cassandra Ballard, Sentinel staff writer, April 4th, 2025. There are three ads on the side of the page. The first ad, Representative Jamie Jackson, add more homeowner protections to HB 1272. Hold builders accountable. Paid for by Build Our Homes Right. There's an image off to the right-hand side of an unfinished home that still has work that needs done to it. The second ad, Sentinel Muse. There's a list of different events and venues going on. Saturday the 5th, is your dog getting enough exercise for a healthy lifestyle? Moss Denver, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 5th, Rico Jones at Denver Jazz Fest, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 5th, Selena Como La Flor Art Show and two-day community bash, Chalk Gallery 40 West, Lakewood, Colorado. Saturday the 5th, Denver Jazz Fest, Galleria at the Arts Complex, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 5th, Denver Jazz Fest, multiple venues in Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 5th, Gutenberg, the musical, Denver for the Center of Arts, Denver, Colorado. The third ad, Mountain View Baptist Church, repent and believe John 3:16. Be our guest this Sunday. Sunday service, 11 a.m., Century Elementary School, 2500 South Granby Way, Aurora, Colorado. Aurora. The saga of the Edge at Lowry and Whispering Pines Apartments in Aurora added a new twist Friday when lawyers for the embattled apartment owners alleged in court that the city has harassed them because they are Jewish. Allegations of anti-Semitism were made in a motion filed in Aurora Municipal Court where CBZ corporation owners and principals, specifically Zev Baumgarten, face criminal nuisance charges in an ongoing battle and controversy over squalid conditions and crime problems in apartments shut down by the city over the past several months. Quote, during a phone call with Breezy Mains, the supervisor of the Aurora Code Enforcement Officers for the city, Zev Baumgarten pointedly asked Ms. Mains to explain why she was being so hard on him, end quote. Lawyers for the defendant Baumgarten said in a court motion filed Friday, quote, Ms. Mains retorted, because you are an Orthodox Jew, an alarming and disturbing statement. Other city officials echoed these anti-Semitic sentiments, end quote. Lawyers for Baumgarten indicated they were seeking to prove the date of the phone conversation, but they did not indicate the conversation was recorded. Aurora officials said this was all news to them and denied the allegation. Quote, the city has compiled extensive documentation over the last several years to validate the numerous problems at the properties connected to CBZ management and its principals, including Mr. Baumgarten, end quote, Ryan Lulby, Aurora spokesperson, said in a statement. Quote, we have shared those records publicly. The city only learned of Mr. Baumgarten's latest accusations against the city in the last 18 hours. Despite many interactions with Mr. Baumgarten and his teams of attorneys over the years, this is the first time the city has heard these new claims. We have no indication that any of them hold any merit, end quote. New York-based CBZ Management owns three apartment buildings in Aurora that have drawn national attention, and that of President Donald Trump, after a viral video depicted armed men breaking into apartment units. The video and ensuing developments drew a faction of local lawmakers insisting the apartments were overrun by Venezuelan gang members. City and other government officials insist malfeasance and mismanagement by CBZ were to blame for squalid living conditions and increased crime. After months of controversy, protests, allegations of gangs, vermin, and even allegations of torture, the Dallas buildings were shut down by the city February 18th. During the Friday Aurora criminal court code violation hearing, CBZ lawyers from Garnett Powell, Maximum Barlow, and Farbs argued that the reason the apartments fell into such despair was because of a conspiracy among city code enforcement officials and police to harass Baumgarten because he was, quote, Orthodox Jewish, end quote. Lawyers said Baumgarten regularly wears a yarmulke, long beard, and Jewish prayer shawl. Lawyers said the city has been subtly and outright anti-Semitic on multiple occasions, spelled out in the court filing. Quote, Mr. Baumgarten is conspicuously of the Orthodox Jewish faith, end quote, lawyers said. Besides the unrecorded recollection of Maine's comment to Baumgarten, lawyers said other city comments were striking as well. During a July 8, 2024 settlement conference between defense lawyers and the city, an assistant district attorney suggested that a 2-month jail sentence would be warranted in the case because Baumgarten, quote, comes from East Coast money and a fine alone would not suffice as punishment, end quote, lawyers said in the motion. Quote, the thinly veiled allusion to Jewish East Coast wealth was not lost on Mr. Baumgarten's counsel, end quote, lawyers said. Lawyers alleged that despite Baumgarten not being a property owner or, technically, the property manager, he was targeted by city officials as the apartments began to become increasingly problematic. Quote, Mr. Baumgarten's religious affiliation has not gone unnoticed by the city and may even be the motivating factor behind its aggressive enforcement of municipal ordinances against Mr. Baumgarten, end quote, the motion said. Quote, numerous incidents give rise to this inference. In late 2022, the city started issuing code enforcement violations against Mr. Baumgarten personally instead of the owners of the building, a tact that is not only benefit of legal justification, but odd, end quote. Lawyers in the brief also stated that city data shows that some of the apartments in Northwest Aurora near CBZ's properties, other complexes were not cited as frequently as the CBZ complexes. The data was limited and not substantiated by complete city records. Lawyers from Baumgarten revisited past arguments made that the apartment units were overrun by Venezuelan gang members and that pleas for help to Aurora police were unanswered or that police were unresponsive. Aurora officials have consistently said substantial police and city records make clear that problems were well documented and that CBZ virtually abandoned managing the properties, inviting a variety of criminals to flourish in the complexes, including some members of the Venezuelan prison gang, Tren de Aragua. Defense lawyers said that on August 22, 2024, Maine's and a host of code enforcement officers and Aurora police went to the Edge properties for an inspection. Quote, the properties are obviously in a state of disrepair caused by third parties, end quote, lawyers said in the motion. Quote, at this time, the APD knew the damage was caused by members of TDA, but the city had not yet admitted this to the property's owners, end quote. Lawyers said Aurora police body camera video obtained by defense attorneys, quote, reveals the extent of the animus towards Mr. Baumgarten and the property's owners, end quote. Quote, the city employees acknowledged that the damage has been done by gang kids, end quote, attorneys allege. During the video, the former owner, quote, acknowledging that he has seen gang members standing around the Dallas Street properties with guns in their hands, end quote. Later in the video, the man said he is waiting for the city to red tag the complex so he can repurchase it on the cheap. the Sentinel has requested the police body cam video. Lawyers for Baumgarten made clear in Friday's motion that they plan to focus their not guilty defense on what they allege was the city's anti-Semitism and harassment. Garnett requested additional time for discovery in a motions hearing on June 11th. A date for a jury trial has not been set. Aurora Judge Brian Whitney said he would allow the request, but it was, quote, above and beyond, end quote, discovery, while Garnett said he has never had a case like this and needed the extra information. Whitney also said that Baumgarten needed to be present at the next hearing, as he was absent Friday, to which Garnett said that he would be, but there was a concern for his safety in Colorado. Baumgarten last year said he was physically assaulted by residents in one of the apartment buildings and injured. This is a breaking story and will be updated. There are many pictures associated with this article. The first picture has the following description. Residents' vehicles sit outside a row of apartment houses occupied by Venezuelans who have migrated to the United States, Wednesday, October 9th, 2024, in Aurora, Colorado. AP photo, David Zalabowski. The next picture has the following description. There was no working heat at the apartment complex. Residents were using kitchen stoves where possible. Pipes were broken everywhere, creating ice inside, as seen in the bathroom. Photo via City of Aurora. The next picture has the following description. Aurora Police Chief Todd Chamberlain addresses reporters inside a cockroach and bedbug infested apartment at the edge of Lowry Complex, February 19, 2025. The complex was finally shuttered by the city February 18th after months of controversy. Photo by Cassandra Ballard, Sentinel, Colorado. The next picture has the following description. Occupied apartment with wires hanging and nearly impassable. Photo via City of Aurora. The next picture has the following description. A common area going to the first floor apartments and then the mechanical room. Ice layer on the floors made it hard to pass. Photo via City of Aurora. The next picture has the following description. An active leak in the apartment hallway flooding the building. It was unknown how many days the water line had been broken. Photo via the City of Aurora. The next picture has the following description. A photo depicting an apartment complex, common area going to the first floor apartments, and then the mechanical room. Ice layer on floors made it additionally hard to pass, according to city officials. Photo via City of Aurora. The last image in the article. It is a view of the apartment complex outside with a piece of machinery digging up the parking lot with a bunch of dirt and other parked cars. Aurora Sentinel. Metro. Community College of Aurora stops citizenship classes after grant is canceled by Trump administration. Quote, they saw this pathway as a viable option towards realizing an American dream. End quote. Mordecai Brownlee. By Jason Gonzalez of Chalkbeat, Colorado, April 4th, 2025. This article has three ads on the side of the page. The first ad, Representative Jamie Jackson, add more homeowner protections to HB 1272, hold builders accountable. Paid for by Build Our Homes Right. There's an image off to the right-hand side of an unfinished home that still has work that needs done to it. The second ad, Sentinel Muse. There is a list of different events and venues going on. Saturday the 5th, is your dog getting enough exercise for a healthy lifestyle? Moss Denver, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 5th, Rico Jones at Denver Jazz Fest, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 5th, Selena Como La Flor Art Show and 2-day community bash, Chalk Gallery 40 West, Lakewood, Colorado. Saturday the 5th, Denver Jazz Fest, Galleria at the Arts Complex, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 5th, Denver Jazz Fest, multiple venues in Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 5th, Guttenberg, the musical, Denver for the Center of Arts, Denver, Colorado. The third ad, Mountain View Baptist Church, Repent and Believe John 3:16. Be our guest this Sunday, Sunday service, 11 a.m., Century Elementary School, 2500 South Granby Way, Aurora, Colorado. This story was first published at Chalk Beat, Colorado. Aurora. The Community College of Aurora will no longer offer citizenship classes after the U.S. Department of Homeland Security terminated a grant that funded the program, the college presidents announced on Thursday. In an interview, CCA President Mordecai Brownlee said he had ended the program, which helped participants prepare for the naturalization test, with a, quote, heavy heart, end quote. Brownlee said that these classes help students realize a path to citizenship and feel more security living in the United States. Students must have a green card to participate in the classes and be able to demonstrate an intermediate level of English proficiency, such as the ability to hold a conversation and write and speak clearly. The college is a sub-awardee of the Homeland Security Grant that was given to the Lutheran Family Services Rocky Mountain. Brownlee said the organization notified the school earlier this week about the Trump administration's decision. The Trump administration has stepped up immigration enforcement and canceled student visas and green cards, which can serve as pathways to citizenship. Brownlee said this decision will make it harder for the college to fulfill its mission of serving the Aurora community, which is one of the most diverse in the state. Students turn to the school for a variety of educational opportunities, he said. Quote, you have individuals now that are beginning to feel a lost sense of value for themselves and their families, end quote, he said. Quote, they saw this pathway as a viable option towards realizing an American dream, end quote. As part of the agreement with Lutheran Family Services, the school taught the 10-week citizenship class and, if necessary for the student, offered English language skill courses. The community college was supposed to receive a total of $101,000 to teach those classes over 2 years. Students paid about $30 per class, according to the college spokeswoman. Meanwhile, Lutheran Family Services Rocky Mountain also offered students legal assistance to become citizens, Brownlee said. The faith-based nonprofit provides various services for families, including adoption, disaster relief, foster care, older adult guardianship, family support, and refugee and immigration services. It's unclear if any other Lutheran Family Services program are affected. A spokeswoman for the organization did not immediately return a call for comment. The Rocky Mountain arm of the organization serves several states, including Colorado, New Mexico, and Montana. The school has referred students to other area organizations that offer these services. The Trump administration's revocation of the grant is part of its widespread cancellation of various federal funding programs. For example, in February, the administration announced billions in funding cuts to health research grants nationwide. That order has especially impacted four-year research institutions, although a federal judge has halted the cuts. The Trump administration has announced other actions, such as its push to end all race-conscious policies that could reshape higher education. Brownlee said he is unsure if the Community College of Aurora could financially support the citizenship classes without the grant. And before he seeks funding, he also wants to get a clearer picture of whether the Trump administration limits pathways to citizenship, given its stance on immigration. Quote, the last thing that we want to be engaged in is offering classes and preparing people for a test that potentially they can't even take, end quote, he said. Quote, and so I think we are really at a standstill, end quote. Jason Gonzalez is a reporter covering higher education and the Colorado legislature. Chalkbeat Colorado partners with Open Campus on higher education coverage. Contact Jason at jgonzalez@chalkbeat.org. Chalkbeat is a nonprofit news site covering educational change in public schools. There is one picture in this article. It is Mordecai Brownlee standing at a podium with a microphone giving a speech. Photo file by Philip B. Poston, Centennial, Colorado. Centennial Citizen Independent, Volume 24, Issue 18, Week of April 3rd, 2025. ACC offers range of youth camp options. Kids ages 6 to 14 can take part in programs, by Isabel Guzman, isabel@cotln.org. Arapahoe Community College is gearing up for another season of fun with its annual summer youth camps designed for kids ages 6 to 14. Quote, "The ability to customize our teaching for individual campers sets us apart," end quote, said Kathleen Wucherfenig, an ACC summer youth camp art instructor. Quote, "Instructors are knowledgeable and experienced in the specific area they are teaching. Teachers are enthusiastic, and the kids seem to be having a great time," end quote. The summer youth camps offer a wide range of activities that aim to blend fun with education and partner with organizations like Black Rocket, Snapology, Science Matters, Sticky Fingers Cooking, and Jump Bunch to deliver camps that span science, technology, arts, sports, and cooking. Some of the featured camps include Harry Potter Wizards, Minecraft Modders, and Beats and Jams, digital music creators, all led by expert faculty and partners. For $279 per camp, youth can learn while having fun on the Littleton campus in June and July. 15 years ago, Wucherfenig received an ACC Youth Summer Camp advertisement mailer and applied for a teaching position. Since then, she has taught photography, painting, and digital arts camps. During one of her camp sessions, Wucherfenig approached a camper who wasn't interested in painting with the rest of the kids. Quote, "I was able to have some deep conversations with him and discovered he really liked cars," end quote, she said. And when she saw a police officer in the campus building, Wucherfenig asked one of the officers to show the young campers the patrol car. Once they headed back to the canvases, the disinterested camper began painting tires and striped roads. It's one way camp instructors adapt to meet the needs of the children with different interests, Wucherfenig said. She added that she has her campers complete a survey that they circle their preferred activities and share any additional information they want her to know, allowing her to offer various art project options. Quote, "Parents are consistently grateful and supportive. One notable experience is when the father of one of the campers asked if I could continue teaching his daughter digital art," end quote, she said. Snapology of Boulder Denver Metro has been running STEM-focused camps at ACC since 2023. Kayla Opperman, Snapology's owner, emphasized its focus on inclusivity. Quote, "Parents love us because we're educational, and kids love us because we are fun," end quote, Opperman said. Quote, "We've had families say this is the only camp they felt included, which means a lot to us because we strive for safety and inclusivity while having a blast," end quote. In the Snapology camps, many instructors use Lego bricks to teach engineering skills, allowing kids to learn through play, which is the best way, Opperman believes. Snapology's other STEM camps include Animation Studio, Science of Superpowers, and GameBots. This summer, ACC will introduce several new camps, including TGA Junior Golf Camp, Epic Sports Camp, Chessmates in Fashion Design for Self-Expression. Registration is now open and parents can browse camps by age or week. Learn more at campusce.net. There are two pictures associated with this article. The first picture has the following description. Campers can partake in a variety of art classes this summer at Arapahoe Community College Summer Youth Camps, courtesy of Arapahoe Community College. There are a bunch of kids with a couple of adults all waving and looking at the camera. The second image has the following description. Youth can learn computer programming and coding at Arapahoe Community College Summer Youth Camps. Photo by Mary Amore Photography. The picture shows a kid playing on a computer, which looks to be Minecraft. There are also a few ads on the page associated with this article. The first ad, Veggie Gardening Basics. Learn how to grow your own vegetable garden at a free class, April 4th, 3 to 4 p.m., at the Inglewood Library. Discover tips for soil preparation, fertilizing, planting, frost and hail protection, and proper watering. Register now at https bit.ly/CSUVeggieBasics. There is an image above of a person planting some fresh-looking plants in the dirt. The next ad, new ways to access the clerk and recorder. To facilitate easy web navigation and enhance customer service, the clerk and recorder's office unveiled two new web addresses for the motor vehicle and recording divisions, arapahodrives.gov and arapahoerecords.gov. Go directly to their prospective landing pages to enhance the customer experience and provide name recognition. There is an image above of two people with a tablet looking at the screen. The next ad, National Public Health Week, protecting, connecting, and thriving. We are all public health, April 1st to the 7th, 2025. arapahoeco.gov/health. arapahoeco.gov. The next ad, Renewal by Anderson, full service window and door replacement. Buy one, get one 40% off, minimum purchase of four, plus $200 off your entire purchase, minimum purchase of four, ends 4/30. Phone number 888-670-2459. NWSL Plans HQ Training Facility Stadium in Centennial by Paola Zalceda, Denver Wright. The Cherry Creek School District's Board of Education voted unanimously March 26th to approve a deal that would bring the home base for Denver's new National Women's Soccer League team to Centennial. Denver Wright first reported on the proposal earlier this week, when the Cherry Creek School District uploaded documents detailing the proposal to its public agenda. The agreed-upon deal would establish permanent training facilities and office space for the unnamed NWSL team on land owned by the City of Centennial. The school district is helping finance the deal, as some of the facilities will be available to students. What will be built and how much will it cost? The team is planning for the following projects in Centennial: a headquarters and training facility, a soccer stadium with temporary seating for up to 15,000 people and a permanent seating for 4,000 people. The stadium is in to include permanent facilities including locker rooms, restrooms, concessions, press box, and lighting. The stadium could host the team while its permanent stadium is built in Denver. Two natural grass soccer fields, and an artificial turf field that the NWSL team will use for training. Another complex of at least four more artificial turf fields, which will be available for the school district to use for non-tackle sports. The district will continue to contribute $15 million from its voter-approved 2024 bond measure to build the training fields and share use fields, while the team would contribute money for design, construction, and other development costs. The district has extra bond money available due to strong demand for the debt it issued, according to the board documents. The district and the team would split the design, construction, and development costs for the stadium, which is estimated to cost $20 to $25 million. Benefits for Cherry Creek students. Some of the training fields that the students from the school district can use for non-tackle sports like soccer, lacrosse, and field hockey. After the NWSL team moves into the permanent location in Denver's Baker neighborhood in 2028, the temporary stadium may be reconfigured by the district. The NWSL team will also donate $100,000 to the Cherry Creek Schools Foundation. Additionally, the district will receive 500 free tickets per season. The team will also donate merchandise and equipment for district fundraising events and will make staff and players available for student opportunities. Quote, "Today's marks an exciting new chapter for CCSD and the start of a long-term partnership that opens doors to life-changing opportunities for students," end quote, District Superintendent Christopher Smith said in a statement. The team and the City of Centennial were expected to make a formal announcement about the deal March 27th at the Cherry Creek Innovation Campus. This story is from Denverite, a Denver news site, used by permission. For more, and to support Denverite, visit denverite.com. There is one picture associated with this article. Jordan Angel opens an event at number 38 as the National Women's Soccer League announces plans for a new team in Denver, January 30th, 2025. Photo by Kevin J. Beatty, Denverite. Englewood pumps up mural program. City seeks new locations, urges local businesses to apply. By Elizabeth Slay, eSlay at coloradocommunitymedia.com. After seeing the success of murals on city facilities, the city of Englewood is expanding its search for public art to local businesses and properties. Lucia Magnuson, Englewood's web and digital content strategist, said the program is designed to identify and select local businesses in the city that would be ideal locations for large-scale murals. Quote, "The goal is to expand public art across the city, support local artists, and enhance the character of our neighborhoods with vibrant, creative spaces," end quote, Magnuson said. Quote, "By making it easier for businesses to participate, we're creating more opportunities for mural projects and strengthening Englewood's public art scene," end quote. The idea for the program came about after the city saw the success and positive response from the community in regards to some of its other public arts projects, including murals from the yearly Murals and Mason Jars event. Quote, "Public art brings people together and helps shape a city's identity, so we created a system to connect property owners with artists and make the process easier," end quote, Magnuson said. Quote, "This program also gives Englewood Cultural Arts Commission a way to collaborate more with the artist community and engage residents in the mural selection process," end quote. Magnuson said the city is now inviting local business owners to express interest in hosting a mural. Quote, "If you have a building with an exterior wall that could be great canvas, submit your information to the mural location list," end quote, Magnuson said. "Your property will be added to an internal directory, which the Cultural Arts Commission will use to help plan and prioritize future mural projects," end quote. The Englewood Cultural Arts Commission oversees the initiative, which is funded through the city's Art in Public Places program, which was established in 1998, and it allocates 1% of the city's capital improvement budget. The funds are deposited in an Art in Public Places reserve account to be used for acquiring, maintaining, and commissioning art. Quote, "Murals do more than just brighten up walls. They create a sense of place, celebrate local culture, and make public spaces more welcoming," end quote, Magnuson said. Quote, "They also provide a valuable opportunities for artists and help attract foot traffic to businesses. By expanding murals citywide, we're fostering creativity and strengthening Englewood's identity as a hub for public art," end quote. Going forward, Magnuson said the city hopes to see murals in all parts of the city to fulfill its long-term vision of creating a thriving mural program for local artists that engages in the community. The form for businesses interested in having a mural can be found at bit.ly/mural-location-list. There is one picture associated with this article with the following description. A mural by artist and designer Julia Williams on the side of Felt, a pool hall in Englewood. The city of Englewood is seeking locations for more murals throughout the city. Photo by Elizabeth Slay. Littleton Independent, Volume 136, Issue 35, Week of April 3rd, 2025. Swastikas are found along Lee Gulch Trail. Police ask residents to report symbols through the C-Click-Fix system. By Isabel Guzman, Isabel at cotln.org. Lee Gulch Trail users have recently noticed chalk-drawn swastikas appearing along the path, and the Littleton Police Department is asking the public for any information or witness statements. At the Littleton City Council meeting on March 18th, resident Marion Combs said public comment that her husband noticed 7 swastikas on the trail's length that stretches from South Prince Street to South Windermere Street. Combs said they reported the hate symbols to LPD in South Suburban Parks and Recreation District, and the graffiti was removed later the same day. However, Combs said the swastikas reappeared along the trail the next day, this time stretching a little further from South Prince Street to South Allottie Street. Combs also said she saw the symbols around Charlie Emley Park. Quote, "We were shocked and disgusted to see a hate act in our neighborhood 2 days in a row," end quote. Combs said to the city council during public comment, "I am asking you to use your positions of power to find out who perpetrated these acts of hate and make clear that anti-Semitism has no place here," end quote. City Council member Robert Reinhardt said during the council meeting that swastika graffiti appeared along the High Line Canal 8 years ago, following the 2016 presidential election. At the time, Reinhardt served on the Littleton Public Schools Board of Education, which worked to remove the symbols along the trail. He said the LPS board recently repassed a All Means All policy that was originally passed in September 2017. And read part of the policy at the council meeting. Quote, "In LPS, we are committed to the ideal that all means all students, regardless of race, ethnicity, religion, disability, twice exceptionality, students who are gifted, immigrants, English language learners, LGBTQ, homeless, poor, affluent, and those who may have social, emotional, behavioral, or academic challenges matter. All students are welcome in our schools." Quote, "In cases such as graffiti, the city always prioritizes having vandalism removed as quickly as possible," end quote, said Shira Pullman, LPD's public information officer. Quote, "This is why we are asking individuals to report incidents through our See, Click, Fix system," end quote. See, Click, Fix is a platform that enables individuals to report non-emergency community issues to local government agencies, thereby supporting municipal staff in addressing these concerns. Quote, "The city's departments and partners, such as South Suburban Parks and Rec, all have different active roles in fixing issues across the city, such as this. This is an automated system that notifies proper departments in the quickest, most efficient way, allowing us and our partners to address the incidents as quickly as possible," end quote, Pullman said. There is one ad associated with this article. 2025 Best of the Best, Colorado Community Media. Vote now, March 1st to April 15th. Revenue from retro license plates may be diverted. Funds might be used to ease cuts to education. Medicaid, by Ben T. Berkland, CPR News. When Helena Perez of Newcastle bought a white Subaru 2 years ago, her car wasn't the only thing she wanted to upgrade. She also wanted different license plates to go with it. She thought Colorado's standard white and green license plates were boring and wanted, quote, "something new and fresh," end quote. For an extra $25 fee, she decided to get the state's reissued black license plates with white lettering. Quote, "I thought it was retro," end quote, she told CPR News. Quote, "I thought it looked really nice, the combination of the black plates with the white vehicle. I really liked that," end quote. What she hasn't liked so much is seeing how many other people have had the same idea. The roads these days seem to be full of black plates. Quote, "they look like mine," end quote, she lamented. Quote, "I like to be unique," end quote. Over the past few years, Colorado has started to reissue a number of historic license plate designs in solid red, blue, or black, as well as the green mountains on a white background. The black plates, originally from 1945, have been by far the most popular. According to the most recent figures, there are now roughly 378,000 vehicles with black license plates on Colorado's roads. To get them, car owners must pay a $25 upfront fee plus an annual $25 fee. The money goes to support programs for people with disabilities. Quote, "it's become very popular," end quote, said Benjamin Meinhoff, the Colorado Disability Funding Coordinator, whose office is housed in the state's newly created Colorado Disability Opportunity Office. so popular, in fact, bringing in $1 million each month, that this money could soon be a victim of its own success, as cash-strapped lawmakers look anywhere and everywhere for funds to balance the state's budget. With Colorado facing a more than $1 billion budget shortfall, lawmakers are weighing whether money collected for specific things, like the plate fees that support disability services, should be redirected to blunt cuts to core areas of the state's budget, like education and Medicaid. Relationship with disability services. In 2011, the disability community, tired of hearing over and over that there wasn't money in the state budget for things their members needed, came up with the idea to auction off highly desirable personalized license plates. Over the years, offerings have included cannabis-themed plates and the names of pro sports teams. The returns were modest, to say the least. The program generated only $100,000 over its first decade, according to state figures. But bringing back the historic license plates has been a game changer. Coloradoans are paying around $12 million a year to put those plates on those cars. Quote, "It's a really great example of sifting through the couch cushions for change and that change adding up to a whole bunch of money. It's pretty extraordinary, actually," end quote, said Danny Combs, head of the state's new Colorado Disability Opportunity Office. The money helps set up that new office, which will coordinate all disability services in the state, as well as funding grants to various organizations. Both the office and the grants are overseen by people with disabilities. Quote, "What's really important in this particular program is that the decisions where the money goes are made by people with disabilities," end quote, said Lieutenant Governor Diane Primavera, whose office helped set up the new opportunity office. Quote, "They have their finger on the pulse much better than some of the rest of us," end quote. Half of the money goes to help people with disabilities access the full range of benefits they may be eligible for, like Medicaid, Social Security, and Supplemental Security Income. The other half goes to innovation grants to improve people's quality of life. Money too tempting to ignore. While people with disabilities have celebrated the increase in funding, the grant program could become a casualty of this year's state funding shortfall. The lawmakers in charge of writing the budget need to find more than $1 billion to keep state finances in balance, and redirecting the revenue raised by specialty license plates is one of the options they're looking at. The fees for Colorado's 200 or so specialty license plates, which include the historic black, blue, and red designs, raise about $30 million to $40 million annually. That money is earmarked for specific programs, but it all counts toward the overall cap on how much the money the state is allowed to spend each year under the taxpayer's Bill of Rights. Quote, "That's something that you wouldn't think of as being particularly difficult or problematic for the state's budget, but it is," end quote, said Democratic Rep. Shannon Byrd. Quote, "It's impacting what the state could otherwise use to invest in key services." So Byrd and other members of the Joint Budget Committee are looking to potentially sweep the specialty license plate funds into the general budget to help blunt how deeply they will have to cut into other programs, like K-12 schools and Medicaid, which make up the largest share of state spending. Quote, "Medicaid is crucial," end quote, said Byrd. Quote, "They are the most vulnerable people in our communities that without this coverage won't be able to enjoy any quality of life. People need oxygen, they need diabetes medication, they need heart medication. They rely upon Medicaid for all of these things," end quote. Many people with disabilities also use Medicaid to pay for services like in-home care so they can live independently, and for medical equipment and wheelchairs. But Meyerhoff thinks that the needs met by the current grants are too great to redirect this money. Quote, "These funds deserve to go to folks with disabilities to improve their lives," end quote, he said. Quote, "This historically is an underfunded community, and just because the state is having a difficult time funding-wise doesn't mean that these funds should go to the general fund. We need these funds," end quote. other advocates seem more resigned to the possibility the money could be redirected. Hillary Jorgensen, one of the heads of the Cross Disability Coalition, said she hopes any redirected funding would still go to programs that help people with disabilities, and that the state would restore the grant funding in future years. Quote, "I think it would be really a misstep to cut the program completely," end quote, she said. Adding an extra layer of uncertainty over this whole process is the question of what may happen at the federal level. Quote, "We are also very much aware that there are some things that are beyond our control that will have a big impact on the work we are doing or have the potential to have a big impact on our role," end quote, said Democratic Senator Judy Amble of Boulder, who sits on the Budget Committee. But the Colorado drivers that CPR News spoke with were unaware of the potential drama surrounding their plates. Jesse Benes of Carbondale has a solid red plate on his vehicle. His wife has the solid blue, and his father-in-law, the black plates. Quote, "I liked it a lot, and it matches my car, and I get a lot of compliments on it," end quote, he said. Quote, "I'm glad the money's going to good places," end quote. For Perez, it was her first time learning that the extra fee she pays for her black plates helps support the disability community. Quote, "Thank you for letting me know," end quote, she told a reporter. Quote, "Because I had no idea that I was contributing to this, but now I feel better about myself, honestly," end quote. She said she'll no longer feel annoyed when she sees all of those black plates. This story was produced by the Capital News Alliance, a collaboration between KUNC News, Colorado Public Radio, Rocky Mountain PBS, and the Colorado Sun, and shared with news organizations across the state. Funding for the Alliance is provided in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. There is one picture associated with this article with the following description. The all black, all red, all blue, and retired green and white license plates were among those Colorado began offering in 2023, allowing people to choose from the four historic license plates with revenue benefiting the Colorado Disability Funding Committee. Photo courtesy of the Colorado Department of Revenue. There is one ad associated with this article. National Line Worker Appreciation Day is April 18th. We thank our linemen for their dedication to our members. Core Electrative Cooperative, www.core.coop. The energy to thrive. Psychedelic mushroom experiment has arrived. State regulators are issuing license plates and plans are in place for healing centers. By Kate Reuter, KFF Health News. Colorado regulators are issuing licenses for providing psychedelic mushrooms and are planning to authorize the state's first, quote, healing centers, end quote, where the mushrooms can be ingested under supervision in late spring or early summer. The dawn of the state-regulated psychedelic mushrooms has arrived in Colorado nearly 2 years since Oregon began offering them. The mushrooms are a Schedule I drug and illegal under federal law except for clinical research. But more than a dozen cities nationwide have deprioritized or decriminalized them in the past 5 years, and many eyes are turned toward Oregon's and Colorado's state-regulated programs. Quote, "In Oregon and Colorado, we're going to learn a lot about the administration of psychedelics outside of clinical, religious, and underground settings because they're the first to try this in the U.S., end quote, said William R. Smith, an assistant professor of psychiatry at the University of North Carolina School of Medicine. Psychedelic mushrooms and their psychoactive compound, psilocybin, have but the potential to treat people with depression and anxiety, including those unresponsive to other medications or therapy. The National Institute on Drug Abuse, part of the National Institutes of Health, says risk of mental health problems caused by ingesting mushrooms in a supervised clinical setting is low, but may be higher outside of a clinical setting. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said in a social media post last year before his nomination as a U.S. Health Secretary that his mind is open to the idea of psychedelics for treatment. Medical experts say more research is needed, particularly in people with a diagnosis or family history of psychotic or bipolar disorder. Adverse effects of psilocybin, including headache and nausea, typically resolve within 1 to 2 days. However, extended difficulties from using psychedelics can last weeks, months, or years. Anxiety and fear, existential struggle, social disconnection, and feeling detached from oneself and one's surroundings are most common. After the decriminalization and legalization in Oregon and Colorado, psychedelic mushroom exposures reported to poison control centers ticked up in these states and nationally. In February, about 40 people organized by the psychedelic advocacy group, the NOAC Society, gathered in Boulder to talk about the coming changes in Colorado. They included Mandy Grace, who received her state license to administer psychedelic mushrooms, and Amanda Clark, a licensed mental health counselor from Denver, who both praised the therapeutic power of mushrooms. Quote, "You get discouraged in your practice because the current therapies are not enough for people," end quote, Clark said. Colorado voters approved Proposition 122 in 2022 to legalize natural psychedelics after Oregon voters in 2020 approved legalizing psilocybin for therapeutic use. Colorado's program is modeled after, but not the same as, Oregon's, under which 21,246 psilocybin products have been sold as of March, a total that includes secondary doses according to the Oregon Health Authority. As of mid-March, Colorado has received applications for at least 15 healing center licenses, 9 cultivation licenses, 4 manufacturer licenses, and 1 testing facility license for growing and preparing the mushrooms under rules developed over 2 years by the governor-appointed Natural Medicine Advisory Board. Psychedelic treatments in Oregon are expensive and are likely to be so in Colorado too, said Taiza Poinsade, Colorado director of the nonprofit Healing Advocacy Fund, which supports state-regulated programs for psychedelic therapy. In Oregon, psychedelic mushroom sessions are typically $1,000 to $3,000, are not covered by insurance, and must be paid for up front. "The mushrooms themselves are not expensive," Poinsade said, "but a facilitator's time and support services are costly, and there are state fees. In Colorado, for doses over 2 milligrams, facilitators will screen participants at least 24 hours in advance, then supervise the session in which the participant consumes and experiences mushrooms lasting several hours, plus a later meeting to integrate the experience. Facilitators who may not have experience with mental health emergencies need training and screening, informed consent, and post-session monitoring," Smith said. Quote, "Because these models are new, we need to gather data from Colorado and Oregon to ensure safety," end quote. Facilitators generally pay a $420 training fee, which allows them to pursue the necessary consultation hours, and roughly $900 a year for a license, and healing centers pay $3,000 to $6,000 for initial licenses in Colorado. But the upfront cost for facilitators is significant. The required 150 hours in a state-accredited program and 80 hours of hands-on training can cost $10,000 or more, said Clark. She wouldn't pursue a facilitator license due to the prohibitive time and cost. To increase affordability for patients in Colorado, Point said, healing centers plan to offer sliding scale pay options and discounts for veterans, Medicaid enrollees, and those with low incomes. Group sessions are another option to lower costs. Colorado law does not allow retail sales of psilocybin, unlike cannabis, which can be sold both recreationally and medically in the state, but allows adults 21 and older to grow, use, and share psychedelic mushrooms for personal use. Despite the retail ban, adjacent businesses have mushroomed. Inside the warehouse and laboratory of Activated Brands in Arvada, brown bags of sterilized grains, such as corn, millet, and sorghum in plastic bags of soil substrate are for sale, along with genetic materials and ready-to-grow kits. Co-founder Sean Winfield sells these supplies for growing psychedelic or functional mushrooms such as lion's mane to people hoping to grow their own at home. Soon, Activated Brands will host cultivation and education classes for the public, Winfield said. Winfield and co-founder Sean Cox recently hosted a psychedelic potluck at which experts studying and cultivating psychedelic mushrooms discussed genetics, extraction, and specialized equipment. Psychedelic mushrooms have a long history of indigenous cultures and provisions for their use in spiritual, cultural, or religious ceremonies are included in Colorado law, along with recognition of the cultural harm that could occur to federally recognized tribes and indigenous people if natural medicine is overly commercialized or exploited. Several studies over the past 5 years have shown the long-term benefits of psilocybin for treatment-resistant major depressive disorder, and the Food and Drug Administration designated it a breakthrough therapy. Late-stage trials, often a precursor to application for FDA approval, are underway. Smith said psilocybin is a promising tool for treating mental health disorders, but has not yet been shown to be better than other advanced treatments. Joshua Woolley, an associate professor of psychiatry and behavior sciences at the University of California, San Francisco, said he has seen the benefits of psilocybin as an investigator in clinical trials. Quote, "People can change hard-set habits. They can become unstuck. They can see things in new ways," end quote, he said of treating patients with a combination of psilocybin and psychotherapy. Colorado, unlike Oregon, allows integration of psilocybin into existing mental health and medical practices with a clinical facilitator license and through micro-healing centers that are more limited in the amounts of mushrooms they can store. Still, Woolley said, between the federal ban and new state laws for psychedelics, this is an uncharted territory. Most drugs used to treat mental health disorders are regulated by the FDA, something that Colorado is, quote, taking into its own hands, end quote, by setting up its own program to regulate manufacturing and administration of psilocybin. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Colorado declined to comment on its policy towards state-regulated psychedelic programs or personal use provisions, but Poinsade hopes the same federal hands-off approach to marijuana will be taken for psilocybin in Oregon and Colorado. Winfield says he looks forward to the upcoming rollout and potential addition of other plant psychedelics such as mescaline. Quote, "We're talking about clandestine industries coming into the light," end quote, he said. KFF News Health is a national newsroom that produces in-depth journalism about health issues and is one of the core operating programs at KFF, an independent source of health policy, research, polling, and journalism. There's one picture associated with this article. Sean Cox, a co-founder of Activated Brands in Arvada, grows and extracts compounds from cordyceps, the mushroom pictured. The compounds are believed to boost energy and circulation. Kate Reuter for KFF Health News. Thank you for joining us for Arapahoe County News, read by Austin.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.